War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security admitting what Alejandro Mayorkas admitting, that there's an invasion on the southern border. It's out of control, and it's because of policies. And this tells you the hypocrisy of what they say. That was recorded, I think, in a meeting with Border Patrol, and he had the gall to wear the Border Patrol shirt. Border Patrol guys cannot stand him. Can't stand him. They have not had the back of any of these, the brave men and women of the Border Patrol and ICE. They've essentially shut down. And we now have not a crisis, not an emergency. We have an outright invasion in the United States. 210,000 either captured or stopped or touched, however they call it, touches in July. The ratio is usually 2 or 3 to 1. So let's say 400,000 illegal aliens got across. Remember, we had 76,000 soldiers hit the beaches at Normandy, right? Basically, a division has 10 to 15,000 troops, and let's say 10,000 just for simple math. Patton's Third Army had 230,000 troops when it crossed the Rhine in 1945. You're having something as big as the Third Army cross our border every month. You're going to have millions of people here. And by the way, we're going to get it all sorted, right, when we take back power. We're going to get this all sorted. So ICE is going to be, the deportations are going to be huge. The illegal aliens are not going to stay in this nation. It's not going to happen. Okay, this is destroying the working class, and this is why we're going to get 50, 60, 70% of the Hispanic vote this time, you watch, particularly in these border communities. They've had a belly for this. I'm going to go now to the great Oscar Ramirez, founder and lead correspondent and editor of the Border Network News. He's back online now down in Mexico, Tapachula, which I think is Chiapas, is the chief city down there. A huge going on today. Explain what's happening in Mexico. This is not the border. This is deep in Mexico. Tell us what's going on, Oscar, and what you've been recording about this whole situation with migrants in Mexico, coming through Mexico.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Bannon. It is a complete collapse. Downtown in the city of Tapachula, there is a municipal city that connects to Guatemala. It has been taken over downtown by the migrant population of Haiti. According to the statistics from the Institute National of Immigration, one third of the population of the municipal city of Tapachula has been taken over by the migrants of Haiti. It is just unbelievable what is happening. They have taken over the businesses in downtown area, the sidewalks. They have taken over the sidewalks. And for you to enter a Mexican business, they are telling you, first, you got to buy my business, and then you can go in. Ultimately, this has led to a huge spread of another infections, that is syphilis, gonorrhea, and AIDS. Now they are preoccupied. I was talking to a border agent of Mexico, which is from the Organization of Protection of Infants. They are drained. They are depressed. They are overwhelmed. They don't know how to control this. And ultimately, they have taken over also apartments, complexes. There's an apartment complex with 240 apartments where they were abandoned, and they were taken over in 2019 by the Mara Salvatruchas. And now the population of Haiti has overwhelmed the population of the Mara Salvatruchas, and they have taken over, as you're seeing in the images right here, this apartment complex. It is a complete disaster. It's just so bad, and the Mexican people are really disappointed on the Mexican government that they're not doing anything to stop this, and they're not doing anything about it.
Well, hang on for a second, Oscar. So this is what people don't understand. You know, Haiti's in the Caribbean. Mexico's Mexico, and you're not in a place that's easily accessible at ports. How do people from Haiti and other countries, how do they actually get to Chiapas itself? How do they get there? Because they're just not wandering in. There's got to be some organized or systemized process that gets folks there. So how do these, and I'm not saying there's not massive problems in Haiti. I made a film about Clinton Cash that talked about the tragedy of Haiti and, quite frankly, how people like the Clintons and the thieves and criminals who run these NGOs for them go down, take the money that the U.S. taxpayer gives to the Haitians and steals it, right? So Haiti is an ongoing tragedy. This is not about the Haitians. But how, there's got to be, somebody's making money on getting them there. So how do they end up in Chiapas? And then end up with working class Mexicans having to bear the brunt of this. Walk me through how this happens.
Well, you know, I have asked and I have interviewed multiple migrants from Haiti on how many countries they have traveled to get to Tapachula. And they said 10 countries. Out of the 10 countries, they have sold their land. A lot of them, they have sold their property. But NGOs, nonprofit organizations, which, you know, they are all over, you know, our country of Mexico and down south in Central America, they're providing aid and abetting for this to continue from countries all the way to Chile, Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador. From there, they jump to Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador. It is just outstanding, the journey that they are putting themselves into. And you know, all of this, it is because of all these countries that they signed this globalist compact of immigration. And Mexico is just accepting by the thousands. There's a protest that is occurring right now of Mexican citizens that they are actually, it's a community, Mr. Bannon, that is basically putting their opinion out there on how they feel. Out of 600 communities in this municipal city of Tapachula, 165 of them have been affected by this massive, massive migration. The number that they're managing right now on this municipal city of Tapachula, it is 60,000 migrants that they are awaiting to go to the United States of America.
By the way, and do any of those, in your knowledge, are those 60,000, given your reporting and your knowledge, how many will actually be turned back and sent out of Mexico to someplace other than the United States, or eventually all 60,000 eventually start heading north and get to the U.S.?
They're awaiting right here in the municipal city of Tapachula. There's a process that is called the visa transit. And before, it was giving between 30 to 40 days. Now it has been extended to 3 to 6 months. And this has provoked and incentivized the organized crime to make fake documents, the cartel to make fake documents, the smugglers, the coyotes, to come over here and rent private buses and pay out, you know, ultimately the checkpoints where, you know, you got, you know, federal police and all this, the stuff that is going on. So it is a lot of corruption in the checkpoints, but there's a lot of population that is staying still here. And those 60,000, they're awaiting for that visa transit to get to the government of Mexico so they can get it and they can move to the north of the United States of America.
Oscar, I got to ask you, the Mexican president is one of the biggest fire-breathing populists in the world. He stands for the little guy. It seems to me that other people, cartels, federales on the take, politicians, businessmen, smugglers are making money on this, and the brunt of it, like here in the United States, is borne by the little guy. Why is a populist president allowing this to happen?
You know, it has to do a lot with the arrangements that he has with the organized crime. And it is his big speculation. He, you know, not too long ago, he was shaking hands with the mother of El Chapo Guzman in the part of the Badiraguato. And, you know, right now we're number one for cartel activity in the world. We got more than 86,000 deaths due to cartel activity. And this has not stopped. Every morning conference that they ask the president, this is occurring in the down south border of Tapachula. This is occurring in Reynosa, in Matamoros, also in Tijuana, and also in Ciudad Juarez. The violence, it is increasing. And he also, you know, he always justifies himself that it's the past governments, that it's because of the past governments that we have this enormous problem, but it's not fixing it. You know, the National Guard, I talked to one of the National Guard officers today and one Border Patrol agent today as we were at the Suchiate River that connects to Guatemala. And he told me this. We are just exhausted. We are embarrassed that every time that we have an operation against the organized crime or against the massive influx of migrants that are coming in into the Suchiate River around 12 o'clock at night, we only have a shield to protect ourselves. We cannot carry our guns because it's an order directly by the Mexican government to not hurt the migrants, to give them the humanitarian right to transit into our country of Mexico, and ultimately to not arrest them, to continue their journey. And this is what it has provoked. The city of Tapachula, it is collapsing little by little, and it's really sad that Mexican citizens are now, you know, taking this as it's a normalization of their lives.
Oscar, how do people get to the how do they get to the Border Network News? How do they find out more about you? How do they follow you during the day on social media? And your reporting and your is amazing. The footage is amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be ahead of the curve, if you want to know tomorrow's news today, particularly on the invasion of the border, watch Oscar Ramirez, because this footage is incredible, and it shows you the tragedy of the working class people in Mexico and the migrants. These people are making so much money off this thing, it's unbelievable, and that's why it's happening. How can people find you, sir?
Thank you so much, sir, for the invitation. And you can find me at all social media as Oscar Blue. And also you can find Border Network News at all platforms. And thank you so much. God bless the United States of America, Mr. Banner.
Thank you, Oscar. Thanks for the reporting. The world is spinning out of control. And the reason is that directly the policies of the Biden regime. You see that down there? That's because Joe Biden has just opened the borders. And let's be brutally frank. You have his Secretary of Homeland Security sitting there going, oh, this can't continue. It's unsustainable. If look at what's in Central America and Mexico is coming here. It's no doubt because they're making money shipping these folks up here. Okay. They're taking advantage of tragedy throughout the world. Nobody's saying that there's not tragedy throughout the entire world, but the citizens of the United States and particularly working class, Hispanics, African-Americans and whites cannot take that burden on themselves. And that's what's happening. This is globalization at its finest, right? This is disgusting. Let's go to can we play the clip from the UN Secretary General? Can I get that up? Is that ready to go, Denver? Let's play that before I bring in Sam Faddis.
I've just returned to New York and would like to speak to you about the grave situation in Afghanistan. Even a country that has tragically known generations of conflict, Afghanistan is in the throes of yet another chaotic and desperate chapter, an incredible tragedy for its long-suffering people. Afghanistan is spinning out of control.
Okay, this is not the war room. By the way, it's not the war room there with the secret recording of the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Finally, he's saying the truth behind closed doors. It's unsustainable what they've done at the border. This is the head of the United Nations. This is not the war room. This is not right-wing Trumpanistas. This is not Donald Trump. This is the head of the UN. And what is the quote? Afghanistan is sliding out of control. Sliding out of control. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break. I'll come back and bring Sam Faddis. Sam Faddis is in the region for many, many years with the CIA, particularly dealing in the tribal areas down with the Pashtuns in Pakistan, where the heart of this fight is. You heard Dave Ramaswamy this morning. This is another tragedy brought on by Biden. Yes, the never wars have got to end. Donald Trump had a conditions-based policy to get out, and he wanted to do the Eric Prince policy back in 17, stopped by the generals with their lies from the Pentagon, and they were bald-faced lies. McMaster, these guys looked him in the eye. Mattis, McMaster's, lied to his face. I was there. It's documented, boys. Sorry about that. Short break. Sam Faddis, the pipe hitter for the CIA, next.
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back to the War Room. This is a weekend of human tragedy on a biblical scale. What's happening on the southern border, the invasion of our nation in the southern border, and now you see the hypocrisy of it. They know exactly what they're doing. Oh, it's unsustainable. He's just buying time with the Border Patrol so he doesn't get booed out of the room. And the ICE agents, they understand exactly what they're doing, okay? There's no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. They know exactly what they're doing. And what they're doing is exacerbating human tragedy throughout the region to now make, and we're going to have Michael Yan, try to get Michael Yan. He's come back from Eastern Europe. He's now down in the Darien Gap. And what he's telling me there is you can't believe it. He says worse than he was down there before. I remember before, just human, just cartels taking people right through. What are they doing? This is human trafficking. And people are making a lot of money. They're making a lot of money. That's what it's about. This is modern slavery. This is modern slavery. Why is the Democratic Party so obsessed with 19th century America, right? Well, let's talk about the 21st century world. This is what this is. It's slavery. Slavery. People are making a lot of money off it. It's a disgrace and disgusting and repulsive. Let's talk about Afghanistan, right? President Trump tried to stop the forever wars. 17 had a huge fight. I was at the tip of the spear of that. This is his designee to make something happen. We had this amazing plan by Eric Prince. And it was in the Wall Street Journal. Wrote a big editorial. Was on Fox. People in the apparatus came together. Particularly, let's call it Mattis and McMaster's. They looked the president in the eye and lied. I can walk you through it chapter and verse. The numbers, what they lied about, the troops, Kandahar, and the money. They're bald-faced liars. The national security apparatus. This is on Mattis, and this is on McMaster's. Okay, the bald-faced liars. And then when President Trump still hammered it after not taking the policy at first, his was a condition-based withdrawal, right? Ordered, condition-based. And what they've done here is a disgrace. It's a dishonor to every patriot that gave their lives there, to every family. And remember, you can't always think about just sunk costs. Oh, we got to stay because people are giving their lives. You can't make that decision. I understand that. And that's what the decisions weren't made because of that. The decisions to have so many people there try to stand under this government over 20 years was a fundamental mistake. There's no doubt about that. Afghanistan is not a nation. I've argued that it's not a nation. It's not a country. A bunch of globalists that went to elite universities all know the guys in Paris. They try to pretend it's a nation. It's a collection of 50 tribes. It's a collection of 50 tribes. Okay? And Sam Faddis, who we've had on many, many times, the publisher, founder of And Magazine, and just a man of tremendous wisdom. His biggest wisdom lately was said, Steve, don't get all worked up on these subpoenas coming from Pennsylvania, because the establishment in Pennsylvania, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Republican Senate, does not work that way. Okay? He was right on that one, as we'll talk about when Boris Epstein gets here. But Sam spent many years as a pipe hitter for the CIA down in the tribal regions. And ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the most dangerous places on the face of this earth. Okay? Sam Faddis. You've had a long time in that region, about Afghanistan, really, but the Pashtuns. Give us your assessment of what's going on, and how bad is this going to get?
What's going on is a disaster is unfolding. We do not have control of it. We don't really have any capacity to slow down what the Taliban's doing. It's going to get a lot worse. The long-term implications are going to be enormous. We're going to end up with the Taliban in control of the country, and now armed to the teeth with U.S. weaponry that we left behind. But before we ever get to that, we got to get through the disaster of just getting our people out of country. We haven't succeeded in doing that yet. The Biden administration, in its infinite wisdom, pulled all our troops out, left a whole bunch of people there, and now are sending troops back to rescue our folks. But they haven't managed to get those troops back in country yet either. The Brits invaded Afghanistan the first time circa 1840. Out of that entire army, one guy made it back out to what is now Pakistan. And the only reason he made it out is because the Afghans let him live to tell the story. So anybody who thinks that the Afghans are going to sort of blow the whistle, give us a timeout, and let us go.
Let me just. They're hopefully diplomatic. They said yesterday, Jan Psaki says, "Oh, we're going to get some diplomatic settlement here because they want to be on the world stage." Headline: The New York Times: U.S. sends troops to aid evacuation as Taliban surge. Subheadline: Bracing for Afghan government's fall. Weren't we guaranteed by Joe Biden that wasn't going to happen just a couple of weeks ago? Said just
weren't
going to
happen. We were told there's 300,000 troops.
By the way, what's the big base up there? The air base. Bagram. We've been there for 20 years, one of the most important air bases in the world for the United States. I understand the forever war's got to end, but there's one way you do it. It just cut and ran overnight. Didn't turn it over to the Afghan security forces. Didn't turn it to Afghan military. The looters come in the next day. Headline in the Financial Times: Taliban offensive gathers pace as the United Kingdom sends troops in to evacuate staff. Now we're in a situation where the U.S. and our allies have to send troops back in to get their staffs out. This is how unprepared they are. Donald Trump, every day, David Ignatius, the Morning Joe crowd, Admiral Stav Ritas, all these geniuses, right? All morons, all geniuses, right? In quotes. Talking about how bad Trump is, how Trump doesn't know anything, Trump's not a leader on the world stage, Trump doesn't know anything about NATO. Afghanistan was not great, but was not bad on his watch as he looked to wind it down. Faddis, the Democrats, all this thing about the peace and the love for the third world countries and Vietnam, they wanted to stop the bombing. Hey, let's cut to the chase. The day the draft ended is the day the big marches ended. They had 3 and 4. They were worried about their own asses getting shot. Okay, that's all it was. The day the draft ended, there were no big 5 million people marches in Central Park. That's all crap, and everybody's there at the time knows it. And guess what? The Democrats, when they took over, after Watergate, cut and ran. The worst thing in American political, geopolitical history is what we allowed to happen in Southeast Asia. Okay? And I'm not some neocon says we got to be all over the world. But there were 25 or 30 million people butchered because of the way we left there. And I'm going to tell you, Sam, I want to hear your thoughts. Stand by. This thing in Afghanistan is going to metastasize. Sam Faddis.
Yeah, it's going to blow up. If you anybody who thinks, oh, well, this was a tragedy, but let's move on and to something else, doesn't understand. This thing is just getting started. You're now going to have a situation worse than pre-9/11. And this monster is going to spread, and we are going to have to deal with it. Only we're going to let it get infinitely worse before we do that. Now, that God, when you think about the men who have and women who have bled and died, including my own son, fortunately did not die, but wounded in Helmand province, and only by the grace of God lived. All of those people and the betrayal of everything they put into this conflict, it is sickening.
This is not about the forever wars. We understand we got to get out. President Trump had a plan to get out, but it's got to be conditions-based, and you got to leave an ability to strike at these bad guys and take them down, okay? Now we're in the worst of situation. Wait till you stay. They're going to start standing up. These little girls start shooting them. You watch. It's all going to come. It's all going to come. Because now they're on the rise, the defeat of the United States. Let's take it what it is. Biden is totally and completely incompetent, and the people around him have been covering for him. I want to see the Morning Joe crowd. David Ignatius, don't be wringing your hands. You guys spit on the floor about the mention of Trump's name. Don't be wringing your hands on Monday morning when you come back on air. And not just that. Here's the bigger thing. The transnational criminal organization in Beijing is looking right there at Taiwan and said, these guys, we got to move. Because when Trump comes back, it's going to be the sheriff's going to get back in town. We got to move, and we got to move now. And we have people who are gutless, who have no morals, who won't stand for anything. What did they say the other day? Somebody leafing the White House, hey, not my problem. Not my problem. Ryan Crocker, another brilliant Bush appointee, says in the other day, he's on one of the MSNBC shows, oh, this is all President Trump's fault because he showed disrespect for the government. That's his fault. No, you guys own this, and you own all of it. Every death, every murder, every rape, you're going to own all of it in front of the world stage. The world knows that. You see the UN general, all you globalists, all the party of Davos, well, this is what you got. This is what you got in the blood of the deplorable sons and daughters that gave their lives over there to try to make something a little better. You might as well go spit on their graves of what you're doing now for their sacrifice. And their family sacrifice. This is revolting. And I got to tell you, they're looking at Taiwan right now, saying if we can take Taiwan, we can implode the American economy, we can take all the chips, and you don't have, these guys are gutless and they're confused. Sam Faddis.
Every thug on the planet is watching this and is going to make his move. And the Chinese are at the top of that list. You have a golden opportunity. You have an administration which has no backbone, and which is largely owned by Beijing, that why on earth would they miss this opportunity? I would suspect you will see in the near future, they will impose a blockade on Taiwan, shut it off and start to strangle it, and know that we don't have the courage to do anything to push back. And from that point, there's just a clock ticking.
Hold it. And think you've got Kamala Harris, Tony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, that little pencil neck? And Joe Biden, who doesn't know where he's wandering around, that's your team, that's your starters. That's the starting lineup. Let's throw in General Austin in there, too. He's got the big shield on, and he's vaccinated, come off a plane. Got two masks and a big shield. Buffoon. Okay?
Yep.
That's your starting team. You got Austin, pencil neck Jake Sullivan. You got Tony Blinken getting yelled at by the Chinese and taking it, licking their boots. Of course, I got Kamala Harris, right? Great job she did at the border. And Joe Biden wandering around the lawn of the White House. That's what you got. That's what the world sees. It's gutless. It's feckless. Sam, hang on for a second. I've taken too much of time. I got to get your thinking. I want to take a short commercial break. Boris Epstein's, we're going to get into all the election stuff. If you don't think it's important to get to the bottom of 3 November, how this thing was stolen, it's more important now than ever. One, it's more important to let Beijing know, hey, we understand what happened here, okay? Because trust me, Beijing is going to be making big moves on this. They can't stand up to the cartels, and they can't stand up to the Taliban. Or Al-Qaeda, God bless us. Back in a moment in the war room.
as we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight the...
Okay, back in the war room. Sam Faddis, we got an implosion in Afghanistan, and they have no policy-making apparatus here. They just completely make it up as you go along. Of course, Joe Biden's taking a long weekend. This is when you want a guy that's on top of things, that's in the Situation Room 24-7, okay, 24-7. Not wandering back up to Delaware, right, with the bib, so she can put the bib on and feed him, Jill. At southern border, you heard the report from Mexico of every nation in the world blowing up through here with the cartels making more money. That's about every bad guy in the world is making more money than ever because of Biden. How big a national security issue is the invasion on the southern border, Sam Faddis?
Yeah, it's a massive issue, right? We have no southern border anymore. So anyone and everything can come into the country. Fentanyl, terrorists, COVID. How about something much worse than COVID? How about any one of the biological agents that the Chinese are working on in addition to things like coronaviruses? Anything imaginable can walk across that border. For the love of God, nuclear weapons could walk across that border. We're not stopping anything. We are defenseless.
Sam, how do people get to Ann Magazine? It's a must-read. You're doing an incredible job on your analysis there. What I love, these are not opinion pieces. These are analytical pieces. Then how are people following you on social media?
andmagazine.com, andmagazine.com, and that'll take you everywhere.
Sam Faddis, CIA, spent time, many years in the region, and particularly in Pakistan, Pashtun, the tribal areas. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Boris, I got you on here. We're going to talk about election, the 3 November movement. We're going to go state by state, but I got to ask you. The Taiwanese, I know very closely, they're not feeling good this weekend, okay?
No.
You see another post-Vietnam about to happen in Afghanistan, another implosion there. And the Israelis got to be feeling great this weekend, right? They see a strong ally, a determined ally. Somebody's going to stand up for their allies in different hotspots and regions of the world. Israelis feeling great tonight?
Absolutely not, Steve. An honor to be on with you and the MAGA Brain Trust. It's a very interesting day. Today's the one-year anniversary of the Abraham Accords, of the announcement of the normalization of relations between the UAE and Israel, which was then followed by Bahrain, then Sudan, then Morocco, 4 countries signing peace deals with Israel due to the work of President Trump, Jared Kushner, Avi Berkowitz, 4 in a span of a couple months after there only been 2 in the prior 72 years. That's what President Trump did from a position of strength. Joe Biden, well, not actually Joe Biden, because he's wandering around, has no idea where he is, but Blinken, Jake Sullivan, and all those losers over there, what they're doing is they are destabilizing the world to the worst position, I would say, since the at least the 1930s, by letting Afghanistan go back to the Taliban. And somehow some reporters and some people in the media actually claim to be surprised by this. Oh, Taliban making surprising gains. Are you kidding me? Literally, my 5-year-old could have told you that if you leave an area and there's a well-funded, well-armed group, they're going to take that area over. But, and that's what happened with the Taliban.
Hang on. It's not leaving an area. President Trump, we're the America First. We're not forever wars. What they tried to do in Afghanistan, stand the government, was a mistake. Mission creep, you understand that. We were going to unwind that.
Totally.
Right? But a conditions-based
run away.
Withdrawal was still leaving special operators, CIA paramilitary, and other guys that come in a moment's notice and drop the hammer. This is cut and run. This is not even an organized retreat. This is a disgrace. And now you got all our allies are putting troops back in to evacuate staff. This is South Vietnam. This is helicopters on the roofs all over again. Ladies and gentlemen, in the region around Vietnam and Cambodia, Laos, 25 to 30 million people died in those following years. The Democratic Party, after they took over after Watergate, just cut the whole thing off. You know why? The whole thing about the peace movement. What a peace movement! I don't want to go over and fight for my country in Vietnam because I disagree with the policy. Okay, that's what it is. I want to save my ass. Soon as the draft stopped, all the protests stopped. Okay, so don't give me the thing we wanted peace. It's all nonsense, and they didn't cut and run. They didn't care my people. They love the third world. They love people. They love this. They love that. They didn't care that 25 or 30 million got butchered by the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot and that whole crowd, and then the paybacks coming down from Vietnam. Ask all the Vietnam citizens that came over here to Southern California. They got away from it. How much the Democratic Party cared. That's the exact same thing you're saying. I don't say we love the world. We're of the world. Ask the young women in Vietnam and in Afghanistan. They're going to be up against the wall in a couple of weeks, right in Afghanistan. Just think about that. Think about
Steve.
That.
I'll take you.
If
back
you're Taiwanese,
to one of the...
if you're Afghan, if you're, and by the way, I'm not saying we got to be all over the world, but if you're Israel tonight, if you're Afghan tonight, or in that whole region, or in Taiwan, you got to be sitting there going, "Hey, America, they're a great partner. I like Trump. I'm not so sure I like what I got after Trump, Morning Joe. Let's have you spin it on Morning Joe on Monday morning. I want Ignatius up there. I want Amber Stavridis. I want all the big thinkers. I want the big thinkers. None of them have really had a job, right? Except Stavridis, who did run his ship aground when he was a junior officer.
David, let's have David Brooks up there.
Okay, go ahead. David Brooks, all of them. Let's get them all.
Yeah. I'll take you back to one of the key moments of the early Trump presidency when you and I were both at the White House when the MOAB was dropped on Afghanistan. Okay?
Yeah.
The MOAB gets dropped on Afghanistan, and then sure, negotiations could take place from a position of strength. And yes, measured withdrawal with the absolute ability to get back in at a moment's notice. Here we have an abandonment. And... Yeah. There's going to be people, and likely some in those audience, who are going to say, well, what do we care about Afghanistan? What do we care about Taiwan? And what do we care about Israel? I disagree with those people. But even if you are one of them, remember this. Afghanistan is where 9/11 was planned to a T. And now we're turning Afghanistan back to the same people who controlled it when 9/11 was planned. You may not care about those people. But Taliban and the other bad actors, and of course the CCP, they're coming after us because we are still the hegemon.
They care about you. Yeah.
We're still the hegemon. You may not care about them, but they care about you.
Yeah. By the way, you like having a refrigerator. You like having these modern pickup trucks. You like having a modern economy. You better care about Taiwan. Forget about the moral things and liberty and defense of freedom and allies. Forget all that. Throw that aside. You better be thinking that Silicon Valley West. We tried to have a plan to pull that back. Didn't happen. Going to take too long. Right now, Beijing, they're looking right there saying, oh, my God, look what these guys did. It's total confusion. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Jen Psaki's up there saying, yeah, we really want a diplomatic solution because the Taliban has to understand how they're going to do on the world stage. They're going to be recognized by the Chinese Communist Party because Mao says all power comes from the barrel of a gun. Okay, they dig what the Taliban's doing. They've seen that before. That's like the French Revolution. They get it. That's like they took over. They get it. They don't need diplomatic niceties. Remember in this show a couple of weeks ago, we talked to you about they sent the Biden administration official for East Asia over there. She's in the room. She's getting lectured. We're the rising nation. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're a tributary state. And she held her ground. I was pretty impressed. But they're in her grill, the Chinese. Next day, Taliban's there sitting in the same seat. They put them in the same chair to mock and ridicule the United States. What did Joe Biden do? Nothing. What did Tony Blinken do? Nothing. What did Jake Sullivan do? Nothing. You got that little pencil neck Jake Sullivan flying down, tell Bolsonaro, don't mess with the machines. Don't get into the machines when you run against Lula, another transnational Marxist criminal. You got Jake Sullivan going down there, sticking his nose in an election. That's what he's doing. This is what you got. Hey, Jake, why don't you get back up to Washington and start focusing on your job? Not sticking your nose in Bolsonaro's business. Thank God, still an ally, because he knows Trump's coming back big, okay? If you don't think this country and the world needs Donald Trump, I got more news for you. Keep watching. Keep watching. And look how they try to spin it. Look how they try to spin it every way. The Taliban is going to be back, and look at what they're going to do. And like I said, we're not the forever war guys, right? We're not the forever war guys. You should have gotten out of here in a conditions-based withdrawal to still keep order. Okay,
as a comms guy, the White House has messed this up so bad. You've got Politico calling this Biden's Vietnam moment. Politico. That's not, you know, that's not the Free Beacon or the Daily Caller. Yeah. Politico, yeah. Axios, Jonathan Swan is tweeting away. This is a disaster for Biden on top of the border disaster, economic disaster, on top of the COVID disaster, the masks.
And we're sitting here and 19 Republican senators are giving this guy a throwing a life raft to him. Disgusting. All of them. President Trump today ought to pull, was it Crapo's endorsement, pull it. And then make a condition that any senator that he backs has got to say, I will not vote for Mitch McConnell's leader as a condition precedent to an endorsement. They're sitting there saving. And by the way, the financial aspect is going to bury you almost as much as the open border.